And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Welcome, Tucson. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt.
And I'm his brother, Jeff.
And we are live.
Or no, I should have just said, and his brother.
And his brother. Yeah, isn't that what the star says?
Yeah, for any of you that read the article in the Caliente today, the Fred and Jeff Show starring Fred and his brother.
And my brother. So we are live. Today at Cappy's.
Cappy's Bar and Grill.
No,
sandwich
Cappy's
shop.
And Sandwich Place.
Oh, Sandwich Place. Very nice.
And we're located at 2190 North Wilmont, just a little bit south of Grant Road, south of Costco.
Right.
That's the big landmark. But we're here enjoying some tasty beverages and getting ready for bingo tonight.
That's right. Cappy's Bingo during the summer, Cappy's third annual bass and bingo season. So they're going to have a little Fred and Jeff show bingo tonight.
And you're calling bingo, aren't you?
I'll probably call a game. As long as Mia lets me, because Mia, you know, she's very, very, very protective over those.
I understand Mia's not going to be here.
She's not.
So you will be the caller of the bingo.
You know, that might be a good time. That might be a real good time.
We can actually practice our shtick.
You have a shtick? What is this, R?
No,
first
R.
First was I was going to do bingo, and now you're... horning in on my deal.
Well, you know, we have many friends of the show.
Yes, we do.
And we met with one of them today for lunch.
Dr. Ed Ackerley. Yes,
Dr.
we did.
Ed Ackerley.
Yeah, wait. Before we start talking about Dr. Ed Ackerley, what's this you horning in on my shtick? How did you get away from that part right there? All right. So we went to Kozuku Sushi, and we met with Dr. Ed.
Dr. Ed, and we were sort of, we had this big article in the paper today talking about all the shows at Jolt, and we're one of the shows.
Right.
And we thought, let's sit down with somebody who actually knows what this radio business is all about and advertising and how to make it more efficient, how to make it better.
That's right, Fred. one of the techniques Ed gave us today was he said, your brother and you sound so much alike, you should start calling each other by name so your listeners get used to who's Fred and who's Jeff. Isn't that right? Fred.
That's right, Jeff.
Thank you. So we had fun with Ed today. He gave us all kinds of great ideas for the show, all sorts of great ideas for the electronic companion at...
Oh, the electronic companion.
We broke
our regular routine coming on the air. So so we always, until today, remind people that the electronic companion for the show is at fredandjeff.com.
That's
where
right.
You can visit the friends of the show, our advertisers. You can see what is coming up on the program. Lots of cool links on that website.
Absolutely, Fred.
And Jeff, you typically...
That's going to get obnoxious,
It's going to get very obnoxious. You know that I'm just going to fall out. This is radio, so you can't see what we do every week. But typically, I stand because I think I get more energy and it's more comfortable standing. So today is the first time I'm sitting. But I think if I have to call you Jeff one more time, I'm going to just start laughing and roll out of this booth here.
Well, I have to tell you, you do look much taller sitting.
Really?
Yes, you do.
I'm going to have to... I'll remember that.
We'll take a picture and post it on the website.
Of me sitting?
Yes.
No, I don't want that.
But you know what we are going to take a picture of? This, 1933 microphone that I'm using today. I mean, don't I
look like Gene Rayburn from Match Game?
Okay, you really have to stop stealing my lines. Did you hear that, Jimmy? You totally stole my line.
Well,
yes, Fred, it looks like Gene Rayburn from the Match Game.
The answer is toast.
Which is what you're going to be later. All right, so we have a big show for you guys today.
And we need to talk about our sponsors.
And our sponsors. Thanks. We want to send a great Fred and Jeff Show shout-out to all of our sponsors. Shelby Hawkins, 5-Star Pest Control, Kevin Morrissey, Bark Morrissey Construction, Bark Morrissey Contracting, our friends at Casa de la Luz Hospice,
Made to Order,
Scotty Wright and the gals at Made to Order, all of our sponsors, we really, really appreciate what you do for us, and we hope that you're making a lot of money advertising with the Fred and Jeff Show.
That's right, and actually, it's really cool. We appreciate our listeners because they do go out and they patronize our sponsors, and they sponsors know, hey, I heard about you on the Fred and Jeff Show. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And so if you like the show, talking about all the great things and the great people that are all about Tucson and hearing a little bit of our comedy shtick, then support our sponsors.
Sort of like Radio Vaudeville.
Yeah, okay. So next. We're switching up the format today, Fred. And
Jeff, we talked about that at lunch.
That's right.
With Dr. Ackerley.
That's right. And so we have a guest today, Mr. Jimmy Grimes. And Jimmy is the president of the Southwestern Fair Commission. Jimmy, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon. Glad to be here, Jeff.
Well,
and Fred.
And Fred, I like that. So, Jimmy, we've got an hour to chat, and we've got a lot of questions to ask you, and there's a lot of things that you know about the fairgrounds. But just to kind of start off the show, give us a little bit of an idea what the Southwestern Fair Commission is.
Well, the Southwestern Fair Commission is a group of volunteers that serves for the county. The county owns the county fairgrounds. It's 640 acres located at Houghton Road and I-10. And we do a lot of different activities out there during the year, equestrian shows. We have a drag strip. We have a circle track. We do the fair annually, and we do a lot of interim events in between that.
I think I saw Santana out there years ago, right?
Oh, my God, you're going back years ago. Yes, but we used to sell 220 kegs in 7 hours in one night.
Santana concert?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Although we beat that with the latest Metallica concert a couple of years ago. We sold 427 half barrels in 7 hours when the Metallica was out there.
427 half barrels of beer. That's crazy. How many people were at that concert?
We've estimated it was 25,000 at that particular concert.
Wow.
And that's one of the other things we do. We also have concerts out there, obviously. In any case, the fairgrounds is owned by the county. They lease it to us, the Southwestern Fair Commission, and we have a 25-year lease with them. It's our obligation to run the facility and add to it. Any profit that we make, we have to put back into the facility. It goes on the county books as an asset. So when they go out to ask for bond money and things like that, it's on the real estate as an asset.
So it's a nonprofit corporation?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. Well, we're coming up close to our first break. And when we come back from our first break, I think we'd like to start talking. One of the things that we promised folks we'd talk about today is the history of car racing in Tucson. And you are a big, big historian when it comes to that.
Well, I don't know about a big historian, but lately I have a research racing in the Tucson area that goes back to 1911. I personally have been involved in racing in Tucson since the mid-70s. So I think I'm pretty up to speed on what's going on in town with racing, whether it be circle track or drag racing.
All right. Well, on the other side of the break, we will start talking about the fun things going on at the fairground and some racing. So we'll see you in a minute.
I'll trade my horse's saddle, cow punch, and I'll resign. If only Miss Molly will tell me that she's mine. Oh, 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 me, oh, my Miss Molly, I'm in love with you.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest. Located at 22nd and Craycroft, open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, T-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Monthly shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman. Want to see the fastest draw in all the West? Want to see it again? Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to take care of those termites that you've got in your house, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. They do a great job, they're economical, and they're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
Hi, I'm Shelby Hawkins. Call us at Five Star Termite and Pest Control at 886-0045.
Power Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quoted.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Wonderful interlude. And yes, visit us at our electronic companion, the Fred and Jeff Show, or actually fredandjeff.com.
Fredandjeff.com.
And you'll find out all about the Fred and Jeff Show and all the fun things that we're doing. Isn't that right, Jeff?
That's right, Fred. And I gotta send a shout out to my friend Evelyn Stevens. I saw Evelyn the other night, and she's like, "Well, you need to say hello to me on the air." And I remembered. And also, friend of the show, Rick Rupke from Water Wizard. He's here today too, not having an adult beverage because he has to drive. So good for you, Rick. And all right, so back to Jimmy Grimes. During the break, Jimmy, we were talking about racing in Tucson. It started in 1911.
Yeah, the very first race that must have been pretty exciting. So, you know, people are used to, and even when we're growing up, you forget about the development, but, you know, you think about Tucson developed, you know, roads, main thoroughfares, everything has asphalt on it, the buildings, the businesses, the homes. But in 1911, the first race, where was it and how was it run?
Yeah, what was the track?
Yeah, it actually wasn't the track. They were just running in the desert. And there was only five or six cars. The famous Barney Oldfield himself ran in that particular race. They started at First Avenue and Broadway today, went east on Broadway to Wilmot, south on Wilmot to 22nd Street, and 22nd Street back to First Avenue. And actually, they weren't really roads. They were just trails in the desert. So there were four or five cars entered, and back in those days, you had a driver and a navigator. So you had the driver driving and the navigator trying to tell him which left turn to take in front of the cactus.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're both wearing goggles, and they're doing at least 35 miles an hour.
So, and you've got pictures of this, right?
I've got a few pictures of it.
So we'd love to get those pictures from you to post on the fredandjeff.com website for people to see.
Okay.
That's classic.
So from the original 1911 race down Broadway, how did we have formal tracks? I mean, when did those start coming into play?
The next race recorded was in 1915, and it was on property donated by the Seinfeld family, which is approximately where 36th Street and the railroad tracks is today. They built a 5 mile racetrack out there.
5 mile racetrack?
5 mile
circular track.
And they had one race on it, as far as my research shows. And then it was kind of abandoned, although local racers used it for a while. And from 1915 until the 40s, there was no active racing in the community at all.
So you're talking about, like, formal sanctioned kind of racing?
Yes, sir.
Wait. So I'm still trying to wrap my head around a 5 mile track. How... because today racing, when people think of racing today, they think of NASCAR or
the drag strip.
But those tracks in NASCAR are a mile long.
Yes. Well, NASCAR, Daytona is 2.5 miles. Talladega is 2.5 miles. So this is twice as big as Daytona and Talladega. But it was built for multiple purposes at the time. They also ran horse races on this same track.
They wouldn't run a 5 mile horse race.
No. What they'd use the front chute, and they'd use a portion of the track.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was called the Steinfeld track back in the day, and there wasn't a lot of racing on it. And then there was a big area between then and the mid 40s when there was no racing, when local races started racing at Gilpin Raceway, which was at Romero Road and Prince Road today. Used to be an old airport. They raced at Gilpin Raceway until the 50s.
Jimmy, I'm sorry, what were they racing out there?
It was the local stock cars, what they called jalopies back in the day, guys like Bill Cheeseburg, Roger McCluskey, and those kinds of guys.
Roger McCluskey was racing jalopies in Tucson back in the 50s.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great.
And then they moved to the Tucson Rodeo Grounds in the early 50s and ran at the Rodeo Grounds until about 1957, when they went out to Casa Grande Highway and Orange Grove Road and built a dirt track out there and raced out there until about the late 60s. It was called Tucson Speedway at the time.
So Tucsonans have really kind of fallen in love with dirt track racing since 1911. I mean, really, there's really not been a lot of traction in the community for asphalt tracks, right?
Well, that's true. Tucson is a dirt-loving racing. they just like to do it in the dirt. I mean, but that's Tucson, and that's why we're different from Phoenix, right?
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons.
But there's a lot of participants who have cars sitting in the community that love to run on dirt. And they just don't want to run on asphalt. There is a difference in cost between the two. You can run on dirt a lot cheaper, although there's a lot more labor involved with cleaning your car and everything else, but it takes more money to run on asphalt, mostly because of suspension and tires.
Right.
It's a different setup on the car.
The asphalt eats up those tires.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So in the 50s, they were at Gilpin. And then what happened after the 50s?
Well, from Gilpin, they went to the rodeo grounds in the 50s.
In the 50s, okay.
And then they built Tucson Speedway at Orange Grove and I-10 and raced there till the late 60s. And then, since then, an organization called TACRA, Tucson Auto Cycle Racing Association, which was a makeup of local racers, put together racing at different places, but they've been primarily all at the fairgrounds since the early 70s.
And how's racing done at the fairgrounds?
It's been up and down. It's been excellent. We've had times where the stands were full when NASCAR came here in the 90s and bought the racetrack and brought asphalt racing to Tucson. We were getting 65 people out there on a Saturday night.
What?
6,500 people.
Okay, there you go. 6,500 people go out there.
Right.
And then how did that fall apart? I mean, because they're not doing that anymore, are they?
Well, the thing with NASCAR was they came to town and they got deep pockets. They spent a lot of money on marketing, spent a lot of money on advertising, and that got the people out there. And that's part of what it takes to run a racetrack. You have to have enough racers to fill the pits. You want to have enough fans to fill the stands. And at the same time, you have to advertise what you're doing, and you have to have decent purses. NASCAR out of Daytona subsidized Tucson Raceway Park when they went asphalt, and we got big numbers out there. But to be honest about it, in the long run, they lost money.
So it just wasn't sustainable.
And that's why they pulled out.
Now, was it sort of treated as like the minor leagues for racing? I mean, if NASCAR is sort of like investing in a satellite track.
Funny you should say that. That's exactly what it is. As a matter of fact, Bill France Jr., who was running NASCAR at the time, came out, took a look at the place, and he was very excited about it when they paved it in 1993. This was going to be a farm-type system for drivers to move up into the bigger divisions within NASCAR. They were going to build about 10 of these tracks across the country. This was their first one. They wanted to see how successful it would be. before they built the second one. Well, after a while, they found out that, you know, they were spending more money than they were making, and they pulled out. But that was the concept. It was one that was going to be a farm system where they could cultivate local drivers to move up in the bigger division.
And that's a shame that didn't work out. I mean, why is it that the minor leagues in Tucson never works out? I mean, we've got we lost the Toro or the Sidewinders. We have the Toros back. We've had basketball here, you know, minor league basketball and hockey and racing. I mean, that's just a shame. But I think a lot of it has to do with what you said before. Maybe Tucson is just a dirt town.
Well, it is. For whatever reason, that's what a lot of people who like racing were weaned on. And if you're a racer yourself, you can enter into dirt racing a lot cheaper, as I said before. It's easier to get into. And the last three promoters that we've had out at the local racetrack on asphalt have had a really hard time making a success of it. It's been hard to get a decent car count and a good spectator count. And at this point in time, they're contemplating maybe trying to put dirt back on top of the asphalt and go dirt racing out there again.
Now, is putting dirt on top of the asphalt, is that a common thing?
No, it's very uncommon. But it's the only way he could do that without violating his lease.
Okay.
And the thing that's going to make it hard is that there is another dirt track in town currently called USA Speedway, located at Craycroft and Los Reales area, out where the big, I don't know how to say this politely, but the city dump is.
that would be the landfill.
The landfill, right, Jimmy.
The landfill. The beautiful landfill.
Thank you, Fred.
Yeah. Fred's got that political vernacular.
He's got that city council vocabulary.
Exactly, exactly.
So how many cars does it take to make a decent race?
Okay, you're talking about different divisions, different types of cars with more horsepower or less horsepower or whatever. But in order to make it a decent race, you'd have to have at least 25, 26 cars in each division because they run heat races, and then they'll run a semi-main, and then they'll run a main event. So you want at least 24 cars in the main event in order to make it an interesting race.
And those 24 cars will run in all the different events?
No, all of the cars run in different divisions. For instance, if you want to put together a little four-banger motor and run a Mighty Compact, that's available. If you want to run Super Stock, which is your standard old Impala from the junkyard out there with a V8, that's available. Or you get into Southwest late models where they have big block Chevys in them and with a lot more horsepower.
Now, what about Demolition Derby? Have we got any Demolition Derby going on out there?
Actually, they were doing Demolition Derby at the fairground or the rodeo grounds for a while.
Really?
Yeah, then they realized that all the pieces were like being lost in the dirt and the horses would come through.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
They stopped doing that. But
that's not a good thing.
Did they have the Yugo division?
That would be in what I call the Mighty Compact.
Fred has a scion, so maybe he wants to soup his scion up and get out there and grace it on the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
And a little 5 feet. And you had a big polish or something.
All right, so we're coming up on the break. Remember, everybody, we are here at Cappy's Sandwich Place.
Cappy's Bar and Sandwich Place at 2190 North Wilmont. We're sitting here live. And in just probably about a half hour, we're going to be calling
Bingo. And Bingo. Fred, you were wrong. Mia is here. So.
Oh, I was misinformed by the proprietor of the establishment.
Such a politician.
But that's all right. I'm glad you're here because that means that...
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Tropical Storm Bonnie is headed for South Florida tonight. Todd Kimberlain with the National Hurricane Center says Bonnie could bring 2 to 4 inches of rain over the next 24 hours.
After that, the center should emerge into the Gulf of Mexico and could pass close to the Deepwater Horizon site. It's not clear at the moment how close.
Late tonight, the U.S. Coast Guard ordered ships to evacuate the Gulf oil spill area ahead of the tropical storm. A new investigation finds Northwest Airlines violated a slew of FAA rules prior to its merger with Delta. The findings substantiate the claims of an FAA whistleblower. The body of a missing mountain climber was found today in Utah. On Wednesday, 16 other climbers were rescued from Grand Teton Mountain. The body was discovered at about 12,700 feet. A rebound on Wall Street, the Dow gains 201 points. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Nate, technician for SafeLight Auto Glass.
My customer had a tiny chip in his windshield. Yesterday, he got in his hot car, cranked up the AC, and crack! It spread. If only he'd called SafeLight sooner. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Let SafeLight handle the insurance claim for you. Just call 1-800-800-2727.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Yesterday, my girlfriend shouts, "No way!" Says she's up at MyLife.com, the only place where you can see who's searching for you for free. I say, "Who'd be searching for you?" She replies, 9 people." Says she went to SeeMySearches.com and just typed in her name. Could be school friends, work friends, old boyfriends. Boyfriends, I say. Boyfriends, she says, adding, "Who's searching for you?" I said, "Who's searching for you?" And she laughs, "You'll never know." Go to SeeMySearches.com right now. SeeMySearches.com.
U.S. stocks are rising with the S&P 500 gaining the most in 2 weeks. I'm John Lamb at Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York. That after increased profit forecasts at companies including UPS, AT&T, and Qualcomm. Richard Ilgeson of Lind Waldock.
I've been putting out recommendations to sell these rallies. I'm a technical guy. If we get a close above the 200-day moving average in the S&P, perhaps we get some legs to the upside. But right now, I think that traders are jockeying, if you will, for the next couple of days here, and I would look for a sell if we can't close above that almighty 200-day moving average.
UPS up 5.2%, AT&T gaining 2.4% as quarterly profit beat estimates on demand for Apple's iPhone. Qualcomm jumping 8.2% as it predicted higher selling prices. The Dow up 202 points at 10,000. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Duffield, Adamson, Helen Bolton, Fletcher PC is a preeminent law firm whose attorneys serve Southern Arizona's community in practice areas of estate planning, probate and trust administration, elder law, guardianship and conservationships, business formation and real estate transactions. Our goal is to provide the highest quality legal services to you and your business in a timely fashion. We welcome the opportunity to talk to you to discuss how we may be of service. There are two Duffield, Adamson, Helen Bolton, Fletcher PC locations. The main office located in Northwest Tucson at Lawn Cantata Mall on Sunrise Drive. The Green Valley located in Green Valley Village. The Tucson office number is 792-1181. Web address is duffieldlaw.com.
A made-to-order, providing Tucson with quality housekeeping service since 1988. We can handle all your house cleaning needs, from one-time, move-outs, weekly, monthly, and on-call service available at your request. Our housekeepers are trained to make your house sparkle and shine. A made-to-order is even open on Saturdays, and credit cards are welcome. Let a made-to-order show you what we can do for you. 790-3195, 790-3195. A made-to-order, woman-owned and detailed. Focused.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
All right, here we are back at the Fred, ex-city councilman and his brother show.
This is the Fred and Jeff show. We are broadcasting live.
Can you tell I'm a little bitter about that darn article in Caliente?
Any ink is good ink.
You're right. We have a fantastic publicist. So.
Well, Jeff, we are broadcasting live from Cappy's Bar and Sandwich Place.
That's right.
Over on 2190 North Wilmont. We're inviting everybody to come down to enjoy what we call radio theater. And actually, in about 25 minutes, we're going to be playing some bingo.
That's right, bingo. And we've got the bingo queen,
and we'll be
coming up right after Big Mike, right?
That's right. We are going to have Big Mike, the cigar of the week. And Michael from the Tinderbox, how are you doing? Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Good. We're doing great. How are you?
Not bad.
You know, we had a blast. Last week over at the Tinderbox, we had the beautiful Shauna from Gurkha who taught us all about the Gurkhas and how to blend cigars and the history of the Gurkha. And it was just a fun time, and we really appreciate the Tinderbox for hosting us last week.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It was a great time.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, what is the cigar of the week?
This week I've got a very interesting one because of its limited availability. It's a cigar made by Ernesto Carrillo. And he came, and the cigar is actually called the Short Run 2010 because he got a hold of a special wrapper that he's using on this cigar, and the total manufacturing is only 1,500 boxes total.
Worldwide.
Wow. Yeah, worldwide. So it's a very limited cigar, and I was able to snag some, and I got it up for the Cigar of the Week this week. It's a very interesting little cigar. It's got a little Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper on it. It also has a binder from Nicaragua, and the filler is a mixture of Nicaragua and Dominican Republic, and the cigar is actually manufactured in the Dominican, which is where he's got his factory.
So that sounds like it'd be on the medium to bold side there?
It's medium to full.
Yeah, medium to full. And what size does those come in?
It comes in two sizes. One's called the Delirious. And it's about a Toro size. It's 5 7/8 by 52. And the other one is a Populares, which is closer to a Robusto size, and that's 4 7/8 by 50 ring gauge.
Mike, I'm sorry I started laughing, because when you said it comes in two sizes, I just flash back on the Blues Brothers. You know, when the Blues Brothers are sitting there in Bob's Country Bunker, and they say,
Well,
Bob, what kind of music do you have here? And he goes, we got two kinds of music. We got country and Western.
Good play.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I wasn't laughing at the Cigar of the Week. I just, for whatever reason, my brain is elsewhere.
Oh, okay, don't
worry
about
it. Buy three and get one free, right?
Absolutely, guys.
And, Mike, if it's limited run, I mean, how fast do we need to get down there?
Pardon me?
If it's a limited run cigar, how fast do we need to get down there?
I would hurry up, because we had quite a few sold by 1 o'clock this afternoon. So I wouldn't wait too long, because I will be sold out very, very fast.
All right, that's good to know.
That's the Cigar of the Week. Go ahead and say it again, and then tell us where you're at.
We are located at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124, and our phone number is 747-4807.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike, and I'll probably be down there first thing in the morning.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mike, what are your hours?
Oh, yeah. We're open from 9 o'clock in the morning till 7 p.m. On Fridays, we have extended hours till 9 p.m., and on the weekends, we're open till 6.
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Big Mike from the Tinderbox. Thanks again for your sponsorship of the show. We really appreciate it.
We absolutely do. And, again, we're here at Cappy's Bar and Sandwich Place, getting ready for some bingo, a regular Thursday night occurrence during the summer recess.
That's right, Fred, and we have the bingo queen with us right now. Hi, Mia.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Fred gave me some bad info. He told me that you weren't going to be here tonight so I could call the bingo games.
Well, that was an ugly rumor.
But, started by Chris.
Yeah, but I'm hoping I can twist your arm a little bit and call a game.
Absolutely. We'd love to call a game.
Well, you're a good caller. You called last summer, and
that,
you were,
that,
I was
Fred?
Quite impressed.
I'm a good caller.
Yes. I got you on speed dial in case I ever, like, break a leg or something.
So tell me, what is the genesis of Cappy's Bingo? It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's not your normal, it's not your grandma's bingo. It's
right.
Not quiet bingo. If you like quiet bingo, don't come. This is rock and roll, shout out loud, good times bingo.
People wearing crazy hats.
People wear crazy hats. People dress up.
You have to write your team name out, so it's put on a standard in your table.
Yes. I don't have time to learn everybody's name, so we play by team, but you win individually.
Right.
And every week is a different theme. This week is Tucson trivia.
Nice.
So if you know certain trivia, then you shout that out. Like last week was, I don't want to tell the trivia heads because I don't want people cheating, but last week it was animal trivia. So if you knew giraffes sleep 15 minutes at a time, and I go, how long does a giraffe sleep? And you go, 15. I'd be like, that's right.
And then
B-15.
And then
that's the number.
15.
Yeah.
Well, we have one for you.
Oh, excellent.
When was the first car race in Tucson?
You know, I was listening to you on the way in, and I'm drawing a blank. Oh, how embarrassing.
1911.
So that would be B-11. I will use that tonight.
Why could it be B-19? And B-11.
It could be, but I like the 11 better.
All right.
But it's super fun, and we have a great sponsor. Bass Beer is our sponsor, so you get to win, like, really cool stuff from them and Golden Eagle, and we have different kind of prizes, valuable and not-so-valuable prizes. Free to play, by the way.
Very good.
Family-friendly.
Now, is the cactus over there, is that one of the prizes?
Yes. I don't know how friendly that cactus is, but look how pretty it is. It's so cute.
That is a very cute little cactus.
It is. And normally, during the summer in June and July, it's on Thursdays from 8 to 10. But today, because you guys are here, we're bumping up the time. It's from 7 to 9. Plenty of time to come down. Bring the fam. It's great.
Good. Enjoy a nice special meal.
Yeah, good meal. You know, they got tonight's Thursday, so it's meatloaf night. It's homemade meatloaf for only $7.95.
Oh, that's great.
I know. That's one of my personal favorites. And tomorrow is all-you-can-eat fish.
Oh, the fish fry. Friday,
yeah.
Fish fry Cappy's.
$8.95.
Yeah, that's one of the best.
It is,
it
and
is.
I like it because you don't have to get, like, everything. Like, a lot of times I'm just like, hey, I'm just in the mood for some more toast or coleslaw. There you go. You know, it's not like the other places. You have to eat everything again.
Yeah, but there are very few places that do Friday fish fries.
It's true.
Anymore.
And no one does Friday fish like Cappy's.
That's right.
It's the best fish fry in town.
So, Mia, with the last couple of minutes we have in this segment, you also have an alternative job other than the queen of Cappy's Bingo.
Surprisingly, I'm not living off the riches of calling bingo.
No. What do you do during the day?
I run the Engineering Copy Center at U of A, and I volunteer for the Arizona International Film Festival.
And tell us about that real quick.
Oh, it's a great time. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary next April, and we bring films from all over the world. And we have about 120 films this year because it's our 20th anniversary. We're shooting for 200 films.
200 films.
Yes, in the month of April.
All right, we have to have you back on the show when it gets closer to talk about that.
Can I enter like a family video?
Oh God.
Yes, if you pay the money. I'm not saying that we're gonna pick it. But I need to invite all your listeners to next bingo. Next Thursday is the last bingo of this season.
Okay.
Because we have a summer season and a winter season.
Right.
Next week they need to come at 7:00. Says Apocalypso, the best steel drum band in the land. These guys are incredible. If you think you know steel band, you don't know steel band until you heard these guys.
All right.
They're performing at 7. Bingo starts at 8 from 8 to 10. And it's the big wrap-up party. So a lot of times we have, like, leftover gifts. And a lot of times we just go crazy and just it's just madness.
All right.
Drink specials, good times. I mean, right. I should have had you at steel drum band. Right.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, we'll be here next week. After the show, we'll come by.
Yeah.
And,
7:00, 7 to 8, steel drum, Apocalypso, 8 to 10, bingo.
Great time. All right.
Anything else
to plug?
No, I hope everybody just comes out. And if you are a friend of the former councilman and his brother's show, and you come up to me next week, perhaps I will have a special surprise for you all your listeners for coming out.
Very good.
But I'm Mia the Bingo Caller, so find me. It's not that hard.
Thanks, Mia. We really appreciate it. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight, so we hope we see some of you out here at Cappy.
Yeah,
all right, Jeff, and on the other side of this break, we're going to ask the trivia question. So if you've been paying attention to the show, that'll be very simple. And we're going to finish off the show talking to Jimmy Grimes and racing in Tucson that started in 1911. and still goes on till today.
There you go. We'll see you on the other side.
Iba descalzo y a pie de la mayor hasta el hoyo, desde el hoyo hasta la sequía, de la sequía hasta el río. Ese era el mundo mío.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A house of light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest. Located at 22nd and Craycroft, open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small, monthly shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman. Want to see the fastest draw in all the West? Want to see it again? Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to take care of those termites that you've got in your house, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. They do a great job, they're economical, and they're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
Hi, I'm Shelby Hawkins. Call us at Five Star Termite and Pest Control at 886-0045.
Power Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quoted.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Fred and Jeff Show, and visit us at our electronic companion at fredandjeff.com. We are back with Jimmy Grimes.
Yeah, we're live with Jimmy.
The president of the Southwestern Fair Commission, talking about the history of racing in Tucson.
That's right. So, Jimmy, one of the things that we talked about earlier, racing's come a long way. It started in 1911. The first documented race was in 1911. It's gone all the way to today. Give us an idea of how racing in Tucson is doing today.
Well, actually, overall, racing in Tucson, I think, is pretty healthy. Besides racing at Tucson Raceway Park, which is located at the fairgrounds, there's another racetrack in town called USA Raceway. And the gentlemen and the promoters over there who run that place, they're very successful. They bring in a big variety of different kinds of divisions, including world-class, World of Outlaw sprint cars.
Wow.
So they're doing very well, and that's one of the reasons why the promoter of Tucson Raceway Park thinks that perhaps going back to dirt racing might increase his car and spectator count.
Well, that's great. Well, before we run out of time, we have our trivia question.
And we want to thank our trivia sponsors, the Coleman Brothers out at Mayfield Floors.
Right, and the
Minkus Brothers at Minkus
Advertising.
Specialty.
That's right.
And the trivia question is, what year did racing officially start in Tucson? And if you know the answer, give us a call at
529-3508.
3508. 529-3508.
Right.
And
if you're listening to us out of town, it's 520-529-3508, because we know that some folks are streaming us live on the Internet that don't live in Tucson. So if you're listening out of town, you could still call in for that trivia question, and we'll send you the prize.
Will we?
We will, even if you have to get in your car and drive it there.
Well, maybe we can race there. Have like a cross-country, I'll get a navigator, we'll be at a cross-country deal, and have a ball.
All right. So, very good, Fred. So, Jimmy, so in Tucson, racing's come a long way. I all the time go out and see friends, clients. You know, I'm in the insurance business, so I'm always out
racing
around trying to, chase those. As my buddy Jerry Myron says, I'm always chasing those premium dollars up and down I-10. But it's very common for me to go to someone's office or someone's home, and I see a picture of a race car. And it looks like, an old Chevelle or one of those goofy little cars that has the top on it, that's like an L with the piece down. And I always say, well, what's up with this car? And, I've got a friend, Enrique Durazo, and he's running a car out there. He's got an old Camaro, I think, he's running out there. And I got another friend, and her husband runs those little sprint cars, too. So your average Tucsonan is in on the racing deal as well. Pretty amazing to me.
Well, yeah, that's the second half of racing within the community. We've talked about circle track racing so far, but the other half of that is drag racing. And drag racing has a history in the community also, which goes back to the early 50s. After World War II ended and our servicemen came home, one of the things they got into was hot rodding. They liked to soup up cars. They would take different body styles and put different motors in them and everything else and see how fast they'd go on a quarter mile. Drag racing back when it first started was illegal because the only place they did it was the Catalina Cutoff.
Where's the Catalina Cutoff?
The Catalina Cutoff is the road to Catalina. And it's pretty much cattle guard to cattle guard.
Right.
Officer George Borzon, who used to be with the Sheriff's Department back then, and wrote up many tickets on people who were running on the Catalina Cutoff years ago. And they used to run also on the Papago Indian Reservation. I say Papago because that's what they called it at the time. On Mission Road, they would run out there, but it was all illegal. Sheriff Burr had a go out there and arrest people every once in a while.
Is that sort of like the Dragon for Pink Slips?
Like in the movie Grease kind of thing?
Yes, exactly, except on public roads.
Wow.
Rather than a certified drag strip. So back about the early 50s, there was a car club called the Lords that was comprised of Red Greth, who's still around today, Don Maynard, and a few others, who used to run at the old B.K. Wong Farms in Marana, on an old abandoned airstrip out there. And people would go out there, and it got quite busy and quite popular. So from there, a group of people put together, put the Tucson Timing Association together. That was the official organization for drag racing at the time. They worked with the local Rotary Club, Barry Goldwater, and the Air Force. And the Air Force gave a strip of asphalt on the airbase pretty much where Freedom Park is located there,
right,
parallel
right.
to 29th Street. And they raced out there in the early 50s. And then the Air Force says, well, we're going to have to take that back for military reasons. So they had no place to go. So a couple of the guys bought some of the equipment, went out to Houghton Road and Drexel, and opened up the Tucson Dragway. And raced drag strip out there until, I'd say the early 70s. And after that, drag racing kind of went away in the community. There was no official drag racing until 10 years ago when the Fair Commission built the drag strip at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I would say no official drag racing because, Speedway, I guess, was the unofficial drag strip of the community.
Right.
Yes, it was for years and years and years.
Well, when I was a little kid.
Drag race down Speedway, show your car, go to Johnny's, get a Coke and a burger.
There you go.
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
When I was a kid, I remember Don the Snake Perdome and all those guys would come to Tucson, and they drag raced out there. It was a big thing.
Yes, and back at that time, it was Don Gartlett came, Kenny Bernstein came.
Kenny Bernstein, yeah.
With the drag strip at the fairgrounds now, and it's been there 10 years, the Fair Commission built it and ran it, and then just as of 2 years ago, released it to an outside group headed up by local businessmen Tom Keenan and John Bradford. And they do a wonderful job of running the drag strip. And that's where, if you've got that Camaro sitting in the backyard or whatever, you know, you go out there and run it. You can take your brand new Cadillac out there and run it. With it. Run what you brung, you know, pay $35 or so. But
you can take a streetcar and race it out there on the drag strip.
Yes, sir, you can.
Oh, that's great.
I'm taking the Scion.
You need to take the Scion, and you'll lose. So.
You guys might want to think about that, the Fred and Jeff show on the drag strip.
That'd be great times, watching Fred drive a car that's almost as big as him up and down the strip. That'd be great. It's like Fred Flintstone with the little feet underneath. I have a bicycle. I have a pedicab that I might race you, Fred.
You're on. You know what we should do? We should take you and me a pedicab down 4th Avenue.
Oh, my God. We'll do that another time. But listen, right, folks, Jimmy Grimes, thank you so much for coming out and being our guest today. We really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. I'm happy to be here.
And we'll see you all next week on the Fred and Jeff Show. Have a great week and enjoy the rain.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Duffield, Adamson, Helen Bolton, Fletcher, PC is a preeminent law firm whose attorneys serve Southern Arizona's community in practice areas of estate planning, probate and trust administration, elder law, guardianship and conservationships, business formation and real estate transactions. Our goal is to provide the highest quality legal services to you and your business in a timely fashion. We welcome the opportunity to talk to you to discuss how we may be of service. There are two Duffield, Adamson, Helen Bolton, Fletcher, PC locations. The main office located in Northwest Tucson at Lawn Cantata Mall on Sunrise Drive. The Green Valley located in Green Valley Village. The Tucson office number is 792-1181. Web address is duffieldlaw.com.
A made-to-order, providing Tucson with quality housekeeping service since 1988. We can handle all your house cleaning needs, from one-time, move-outs, weekly, monthly, and on-call service available at your request. Our housekeepers are trained to make your house sparkle and shine. A made-to-order is even open on Saturdays, and credit cards are welcome. Let A made-to-order show you what we can do for you. 790-3195, 790-3195. A made-to-order, woman-owned and detailed.
A lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.